Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Hello.
Howdy.
Hey, is my mic working?
Yes, you sound good.
Okay, thanks. It's been wrong on every call I've joined today.
Nice. Hello?
Except for this one. Hello?
All right,
Jacob
cool.
Didn't pull a Jacob. It's amazing.
Yeah, I pooped early. And also, we found the dongle.
I was going to ask.
Nice. Where was it?
It was in my wife's work bag. And then we found another dongle, which I'm... Either it was the original one off of my headset, or it was the one from her bag originally, but I found it in the washer the other day. So, yeah, so at least it's all nice and clean. I haven't tested that one to see if it's working, but apparently this one does, so that's what's important.
Yay.
Nice. Yay, dongle.
Yay.
Go, dongle.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Jacob's here. Aki's here. No Bree, but Grant's here.
Dongle. Yeah, I'm here. Dongle's here.
Yeah, we're almost showed up. Nice we're keeping the dongles. Dongle Talk. The name of the episode, Dongle Talk.
.com. I'm going to crack this beer up and tell me if Discord kills it. Yep, it killed it.
I didn't hear anything. No
nothing, nothing.
It was good.
Quiet as can be. Well,
that was really good.
Yeah, it's a beer night.
Now we're going to need a sound effect to put in there. Make it sound like it worked.
I don't know.
Dongle talk. I don't know. I mean,
listen
like,
here,
I want a helicopter
snort.
Noise and then just like have everyone like slowly realize what exactly we're talking about with dongles and, you know, helicopter noise.
We're talking
noises.
About your phone dongle.
I know, but we could talk about other kind of dongles.
No. No, we are only talking about your phone dongles. Here on Dongle Talk, episode 598 of the SML Podcast, Dongle Talk. We are live here with Jacob Garner talking dongles.
You know, when you get your pod title in the first like 30 seconds, it's going to be a good show.
It's going
right?
to be a winner, yeah. Because now we have a theme.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, we could talk about like, you know, how it's nice to have a nice clean dongle after it went through the washing machine. Yeah. And, you know, I use all clear and dye free. So, you know, it's not my dongle is not going to be cause me any itchy problems later, you know, for my sensitive skin.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
It's important. And
there's no whoosh, whoosh, whoosh when you talk to us anymore.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So how is everyone else's week?
Pretty good. I got dongles. I got a couple here sticking out of
and
my
dongles. You rocking with
sticking them out of my box. I mean, I don't know. I got various Bluetooths, and I got an iLock dongle that has all my music software licenses. This is boring.
Dongle talk dongle, is never boring. Talk.
Never boring. What else I got? I think there are other dongles in here, and I don't know what they're for. I probably need to label these.
Okay, dongle talk does suck. Yeah,
that was
a failed experiment.
No, we're good.
Still keeping it the show title.
Bits over.
I'm way too lazy to change course now. Like I had posters printed, T-shirts. Going to be a whole gimmick. Dongle talk.
Dongle talk would be one to explain, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Jacob's face on it.
I'd rather not have my face on your dongles. Thanks. I don't want any dongles.
First SML underwear with Jacob's face.
You could get dongles made with SML branding. It says smell my dongle. SML my dongle, you know? And they don't do anything. They just have writing on them.
Just the USB dongle that does nothing.
Yep.
Oh god. I'm now going to workshop this and like figure out what we can make for the L. Smell my large dongle, long dongle. Ooh.
My long.
Because we offer it at various sizes.
Longle.
The Longle.
Longle, it sounds like
you're it sounds like you're gargling it as you say it, like, oh, no, Longle. No, no. Would you believe that we're brand ambassadors for a video game company?
You're the one who had to bring that up, Jacob.
I'm shocked you fuckers aren't even straight and have partners, for fuck's sake, after this conversation.
That is fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, like, if two women had not stepped into my life, you know, I'm pretty sure I'd still be rooming with my old roommate, John, and we'd probably just be fucking bagels at this point.
By bagels, you mean each other?
But I mean, both, really. Okay. Tossing the bagels onto our dongles and, you know.
Aki, how was your week?
It was okay.
Until now.
I got fired, so that was great.
Shit.
Yeah, I was there for 2 days, and basically the guy I was doing all the work for, he didn't hire me, but he had family that were fired, so he got really pissy that how dare I get hired to clean up the mistakes of his family, because his family's fucking shit at their job. So everyone decided it was probably best that I leave before he show up on the second day.
What? Man.
Jeez.
What a dick.
Uncle. It is what it is. You know, if they decide, hey, can you come back? I'm going to make sure he's paying me himself out of pocket, and I'm going to charge him out the fucking nose.
That'd be awesome.
Because he's a trust fund baby. Like, a super trust fund baby. Like, he could have summer homes all worth millions, a garage full of antique and sports cars, and his great-great-great-grandchildren still wouldn't have to work a day in their fucking lives type of trust fund baby. So,
I need that kind of money right now because is sick.
Oh, no. Jesus. Yeah. Every, 4 months, one of your cats gets sick.
I know. Shit. I think something may have happened. Like, Ashley took her to her sister's campground to just hang out and sit out in the open air and get some sunlight. And I'm wondering if she may have picked something up on that little journey.
Like a stomach virus or something?
We don't know. She's not eating well. She's hiding under the couch a lot. She's not using the litter box properly. We have found her in the shower using the shower as a litter box, which is not fun. Ew. Yeah. Huh. So we need to get her checked out. Called my mom earlier today and kind of broke down crying. We're talking about the cat. I'm like, we just lost Peaches. We can't go through something this soon.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my week.
Well, hopefully it's nothing too bad there, guy. Sorry.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Oh man. Anyone have anything they want to talk about, or should we dive into news?
I've started that Animal Well game. You guys going to cover Animal Well?
I don't know. I tried shooting an email for it, and I never heard back.
Yeah, it's a new publisher. It's a Donkeys publishing company. But it's a neat game. Just dropped. It's like a. I just think it's interesting.
Heard so much good about it.
Yeah, it's really neat so far, and it's also a 32 megabyte game, which. The joke is that, you know, the 4K wallpaper on PS5 is bigger than the actual game.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, but it's quite good so far. I just sunk just a tiny bit of time into it last night. I didn't know if it was something that you guys had or would be talking about, but it's neat.
Nice.
I'm hoping that we hear something back on it. I would love to cover that one. I hope it comes to Xbox, too. That's like the only
platform
it's not on.
Yeah, they're on the new, they're on like the fancy PS Plus. So I assume that's some deal and maybe it'll be out in a year on Game Pass as it usually goes.
Yeah. Speaking of Game Pass.
Speaking of game. Hey, you see what I did? Propped you up, Joe.
You knew what was going on.
Here we go. News time.
Oh, clever girl. Yeah, Game Pass. A lot of games coming to Game Pass. Pretty hefty lineup for the second half of the month with, this week, we got Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Chance of Senar, And then EA Play got NHL 24 on the cloud and Immortals of Avium.
That's nice.
A good haul.
That's a good haul really for good one haul. Week.
Yeah. Do you guys play Sinar? Did we talk? I'm sorry.
Yes, I did. I reviewed it. It was fucking amazing. Gotcha.
Okay. Maybe I heard you review it. I can't, that was a great game. Liked that one a lot.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You should. It is great. It will take you more than a single day to finish it, though. So probably no more than a weekend.
It's on Game Pass now.
Yeah, is EA Plus part of Game Pass?
EA Play, yeah. It's part of Game Pass Ultimate.
Okay, cool. I might play Immortals of Avium then.
Yeah, I want to try it too.
I haven't heard a lot of good things about it, but it just looks cool, so I'm going to play it anyways.
Good particle porn in that game. Lots of particles.
Another game that's going to look really, really good is Hellblade 2. Which is hitting May 21st next week on Game Pass.
That's crazy.
Day one launch. And then on the 23rd, two more day one launches with Galacticare and Haunty.
I can't wait to play Sinuous Sacrifice 2.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's I don't know, like it feels soon, but we've also been hearing about it for like 10 years. So it'll be cool to actually play it. I just want to see it. Like it's going to be probably the prettiest game on that Xbox.
Yeah,
I just hope that they aren't fired immediately after it gets its sales numbers in.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's hope for the best. Moving Out 2 is joining May 28th.
That's a good game.
And then on May 30th, we're getting Lords of the Fallen, as we talked about last week. And Humanity is going to be the day one launch.
So excited about that. I'm like, I just assumed it would never... I thought it was a Sony game.
Yeah.
Like I really, really, really want to play that. So that's cool. I would have just bought it, but hey, it's Game Pass. That's great. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Pretty cool to see that jump to Game Pass.
I showed my wife the trailer for that. She's like, "What the hell is going on?" I'm like, "I don't actually know." But we'll find out.
It's a cool puzzle game. I played a few stages on PS5. And it's really cool. The dog is adorable.
Yeah, the dog
gets to bark and lead people astray and collect things, and really cool. Y'all get to check it out.
Just like real life.
June 4th, Firework is hitting PC, and Rolling Hills is another day one launch for Game Pass. June
4th. A lot of games. They're coming.
Yeah. So that is the month of Game Pass. Can't all be good news. Got a couple games got to leave Game Pass. Six games are departing the service. Chicory, A Colorful Tale, Our World Pioneers, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle, Pac-Man Museum Plus, Little Witch in the Woods, and Railway Empire 2.
When are they leaving?
May 31st.
Okay. I play guitar on Chicory.
Did you?
Go play it. Yeah. Go play it. It's a good game.
Bought that.
Did you? It's on Game Pass, though.
Yeah, that's why I got it. You get it on
Joe that's buys true. Everything. It doesn't matter if it's on Game Pass.
I don't know why I'm
Well, no. Yeah, why am I surprised? You get the discount while it's on Game Pass, because once it leaves Game Pass, it's more expensive.
Yep.
I don't know if I'll finish it by the end of the month. I probably won't. That was.
Nah, I mean,
it's been on my wish list for a while.
Game's out, so.
Yeah, that is true.
That's going to eat up the rest of the month.
Yeah.
Is that the My Little Pony Battle Royale game with guns?
No, it's My Little Pony 2, a Zephyr Island Mystery or something like that.
Huh.
I don't know. My youngest is psyched as hell.
That's awesome.
Like, Silas is just like, I can't wait to review this game. Like, Silas still, like, I mean, I don't know if you listened to the last time my kids were on, but, like, we had to explain to my youngest again what exactly a podcast is, even though he's been reviewing for, like, I think he's just been thinking, like, he's been having conversations with Mr. Joe the whole time. But so we had to explain it to him, and he's like, what? People listen? Like, there's millions of people listening, and Joe and I are just like, whoa, maybe tens, not millions. He's like, are people in Japan listening to me? And we're like, maybe?
Maybe. Last episode did really, really well.
Wait, cool. The last episode that we were on with Ryan? Oh, nice.
Yeah, that episode with Ryan did really good.
You're giving us that Ryan bump.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just not the GameCube in his ass, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you do what you can. PlayStation Plus game catalog update for May 21st was revealed. Red Dead Redemption 2, Deceive Inc., The Sims 4 City Living DLC. I don't know why that gets a spotlight, but whatever. Crime Boss Rock A City, The Settlers New Allies, Stranded, Alien Dawn, Cat Quest and Cat Quest 2, Watch Dogs, Cats and Dogs, and the Lego Movie video game 2.
Two.
Yeah, the Lego. So
there's some good games in that. Cool.
And they're getting there's a decent
plenty
lineup.
Of cool game. Yeah, there's plenty of good games.
And then the PS Classics, 3 PlayStation 1 games with 2 Extreme, G Police and Worms Pinball.
Oh.
Very interesting lineup of games, but
Worms Pinball, is that Zen or is that someone else?
No, this is like Team 17 from way back PlayStation Team 17. 1 days.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Unfamiliar.
Bad news though. All the games leaving PlayStation Plus. 34 games are leaving PlayStation Plus on May 21st.
Every single game is leaving.
Everything but Worms Pinball is leaving.
Yes, everything but Worms Pinball is leaving PlayStation Plus.
Good for Worms. That's fine.
Let's hit this list. We got Absolver, Abzu, Adrift, Ashen, Darksiders, Warmastered Edition, Darksiders 2, Definitive Edition, Darksiders 3, Darksiders Genesis, Elix, Elix 2, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 2, 12, 15, Horizon Zero Dawn, which is a fucking first party game, How to Survive 2, I Am Dead, Jotun, Kingdoms of Amalur, Re-Reckoning, Last Stop, Minute, Monster Jam, Steel Titans 2, MX vs. ATV Legends, My Friend Pedro, Observation, Sundered, The Artful Escape, The Messenger, This is the Police, This is the Police 2, World of Final Fantasy, and Wreckfest. Holy hell, that's a lot of games leaving.
Yeah, that's nuts. Games leave, but even like Horizon, that's odd.
Like, space them out a bit more. Gee.
Yeah, really.
Like, yeah, they couldn't see all these contracts coming up at once and being like, maybe we should stagger some of these.
Would be nice.
And their own game, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Which should never leave. It's their game on their service. That should just stay. What the fuck?
I don't get it. But it's been leaked that a Lego Horizon Adventures is going to be announced at the next PlayStation event. Horizon.
Oh, well, damn. I was going to report on that, but not
glad
anymore.
You paid attention.
you can still report on it.
Yeah, what do you have to say about it?
I'm not listening. I'll listen to your report.
I mean, rumor has it that a new Horizon game is on the way from Lego, but like, are they saying Traveler's Tales or is it like somebody else?
I don't know.
Like, that's what I don't get.
We just know that it's a title.
That's exciting, yeah. I guess.
PlayStation announced that Herman Hulst and Hideki Hishinu are the new CEOs effective June 1st. Hulst was previously the head of PlayStation Studios, former head of Guerrilla Games, and will lead the studio business group. Nishino will lead the platform business group and has been a part of Sony since 2006. A senior VP of platform experiences. So those are the new heads of PlayStation.
Interesting they're splitting like this. I think, I wonder, you know, they're doing all this like multi-platform stuff now, you know, like that's a different type of business. I wonder if that's what this is about. One's about making games. The other one's about the relation. I don't know. It's interesting though. I don't know what the thinking is there, but
Do you think we might see that wall of exclusivity start to crumble?
No.
Yeah, no. I don't.
No, you don't think so?
I think it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I think they're trying to I think they're trying to eke their way onto other, like onto PC and stuff with their, like make a Sony, like have a actual Sony presence on PC. Like they, you know, they're all their rapper and all that Helldivers crap. But I just don't see them. I don't see them opening themselves up to multi-platform stuff. I think the theory has to do with, they always say it's about security and data. I don't know what it is, but I just don't think that's.
Oh, it's definitely about data. They want more of it so they can sell it.
Well, I think it's, well, sure, of course they do, but they also don't want to give their data away. I think that is where the security concern is they don't want like all this stuff. As soon as you go multi-platform, there's information about who's playing their games and what they're doing, and I think that might be what it is, but I don't know. I mean, if they wanted more data, one way to do it is to do more multi-platform stuff. Yeah. You know, but they're choosing not to, and I don't know. It's weird. But
I would love to see the data behind how things are for the show now that it is a fully multi-platform game as opposed to being a PlayStation exclusive. Are more people playing the show? Are less people playing? You know, or is it still, I would imagine it's still primarily a PlayStation selling brand, but like I've bought it on Xbox every year. I love the idea of buying a PlayStation game on Xbox.
Yeah, Thimber in chat saying that like Totoki wants to expand. You know, we might be wrong on that. Like multi-platform is a thing. I mean, going to PC and going to another console is a different thing, but you know, hey, if they want to do that, good. That would be great. Yeah, so, what's up?
Thimber's linking something where he wants to go multi-platform first party games. That's mainly to PC though. I don't see them necessarily jumping to Xbox anytime soon. Maybe they'll do what Xbox did and like take a couple older games and toss them over to see how they do. Like give us the first Spider-Man game. That would sell like hotcakes on Xbox.
It really would.
It would go. Yeah. People are desperate for a good Spider-Man game on Xbox. That would sell. Probably more than Sunset Overdrive sold.
That was a fun game.
PS5 sales have topped 59 million units sold.
Wow.
Yippee.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
And Helldivers 2 has hit 12 million sales.
Man, I still never played that. I still never tried that. You guys played it?
I will not play it ever, period.
I played it. It's fun. But I just don't have people to play with. So
yeah, that's.
And I don't want to play with randoms.
Well, you have significantly less randoms you have to worry about if it makes you feel any better. Sony, remember when Sony was like, "Oh, we've heard you. We're not going to make the PSN requirement." Yeah, they also turned around and blocked all 177 countries that aren't covered by PSN. From being able to play or buy the game.
Not to play, from buying it. If you bought it, you already own it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Unless they're refunding everyone.
I think they started refunding people, because I know they started doing it for people who pre-ordered Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
If they were in one of those countries that doesn't support PSN, even though you only need that for the multiplayer and not the single player, supposedly, which I think is bullshit. No. I'm pretty sure it's going to be for everything. I just don't trust Sony at all right now, because they're like taking a shit on everything, and they're like, oh, we're so sorry, we won't do it again, and then just shift over 2 inches and take another big old steaming pile of shit all over everything again. It's like, no, that's the problem. Stop doing that.
Hey, Joe, why don't you guys cover Sony games?
You know, I would have been happy to cover Sony games if they stopped shitting on everything. You know, they just...
But...
They have that problem. I don't know.
Square Enix is allegedly shifting their focus to a more quality-focused multi-platform approach as opposed to quantity and exclusives. My comment to that is sure.
Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it, because they said much the same when they were like, oh, we can't just focus on the Japanese market anymore. We need to expand. And then proceeded to only do PlayStation, which is what the majority of the Japanese audience is. So it's kind of like, okay, so what are you going to do now, PlayStation and whatever their new handheld is going to be?
I haven't heard anything of a new Sony handheld.
I haven't either. I'm just using that as an example because I don't think they're actually really expanding, because that would be almost like they do something that's halfway intelligent.
They've had more exclusives on Switch than they've had on PlayStation.
Really?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah. They're just different exclusives. Some Ubisoft news. Assassin's Creed Codename Red is now officially known as Assassin's Creed Shadows.
I want it.
Set in feudal Japan.
I got to have it.
How about you tell us about it?
I want it. It's set in feudal Japan. You get to be a samurai or a ninja. I don't remember which anymore. Oh, I want it so bad. It's something that Assassin's Creed fans have been asking for since, like, Assassin's Creed 2 came out. Like, I want this so bad. So bad. I need it. I must have it. You will get this for me. I don't care who you have to blow, Joe. You will get it for me. And I will play the ever-living fuck out of it. I want this game so bad. And
I honestly want to redo that one. Stands for blow, Joe?
Yeah. What'd you say?
I said, hey, Grant, you want to review that one?
I will fucking murder you in your sleep.
What's an Assassin's Creed? Is that what you said? You mean like the band?
You have to assassinate Scott Stapp for releasing that Marlins Will Soar game. There is a Marlins fan who will pay you all the money in his wallet, which it's about $4.53, but trust me, you're doing it for the good of humanity.
I think I still have that song on my computer, by the way.
God damn it.
Oh, apparently in this new Assassin's Creed game, you play as a black samurai, which is cool. Yes.
Yeah, there's two characters you play as.
Are losing their shit.
And they shouldn't be, because there was a very famous black samurai. I don't remember his
name. Yeah, but they're racists, so they're stupid, and they don't listen to reason.
Oh, the game's woke.
Yeah, pretty much. Rogue Prince of Persia is now coming May 27th.
Yeah, they bumped it for, there was talk about the Hades.
Yeah, Hades, smart. They're like, listen,
we know
what's going on. We can't compete. Yeah. We're just going to delay.
Which is like really something. It takes a lot to do that kind of a date push this close. So, you know, they're good on them. I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah, totally fair.
Yeah.
And then Ubisoft has canceled The Division Heartland.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're looking forward to more Division, oh well. Rockstar is likely porting Red Dead 1 to PC based on promotional content found in their launcher. Someone found some like promotional banner text that said Red Dead 1 in the zombie DLC available now.
I thought that was on PC.
Huh. Nope, not Red Dead 1.
Interesting.
We mentioned this last episode, but it belongs here too. Nintendo Switch Online announced 3 new Game Boy games for May 14th with Alleyway, Baseball, and Super Mario Land 1.
How wasn't Super Mario Land 1 not already on there?
I know, right?
I saw that in my sub list on YouTube and was like, is this an old video? Because that is strange. But, you know, I guess, you know,
there's always been some weird rights with that game, because so much of it seems different from Mario games. Like the turtles explode, your quote fireball bounces,
true,
like straight up in the air. much about that game just seemed different from Mario that I wonder if there was some other game originally there and they just like stapled Mario on top of it, maybe.
Like Mario 2, which happened about the same time, maybe. I don't know. I actually don't know the dates. But yeah, both of those games have some of the best Mario music ever, so they got that going.
And last bit of news I have is Neptunia Game Maker R Evolution is coming to Xbox later this year. So we're going to be talking about one Neptunia game later on in the show, and the second one is around the corner, which is, I think that's pretty cool.
Looks good. You get to drive a motorcycle in the dungeons. That's so fucking cool. Oh my God. I'm so fucking stoked for that.
Aki's on fire this episode. Aki's like,
I love the Neptunia. Here's the thing. I've reviewed, like, I don't know, 6 Neptunia games, maybe. I own all of them on Steam. All of them, which is a lot more than that number. And I own the, I think, only one on Xbox now, because I'm reviewing it today. That's the only one I don't own on Steam right now. And that's going to change the moment it's on sale. I also have basically all the DLC for all of the games as well. Why? Because I am a consumer whore. I love Neptunia. Yes, I do. They're fantastic. But I love the Neptunia games. I think I heard about it because Purnell did a review on one of them, and it sounded really awesome, and then I got the next one. And I think I got, like, the 2 or 3 after that, and then they required a computer better than mine. And Purnell started doing them again.
He's going to be doing one, too.
Yeah.
He'll be doing Game Maker R.
That bastard.
On PlayStation. That'll be coming up in a future episode. But that's nice. The news I have. Aki, what kind of news do you have?
We already touched on it. It was the Helldivers 2 stuff that I had. Mm. I think it was funny because Sony also tried to throw Steam under the bus and blame the it's still blocked because of Steam. And Steam came out, I think, a few days ago and was like, yeah, no. No, it's because of the publisher. The publisher is the one who made this demand. So we have to do what they say. It's like, who's the publisher? Oh, right, Sony.
Yay. Jacob, what kind of news do you have?
Well, I have tons of movie watch news.
Ooh. Nice. It's been a while.
Need a movie watch stinger in the soundboard here.
We really do. But most of the time, it's only involved with Sonic the Hedgehog, because it used to annoy Aki so much. But, anyway.
And then I watched the movies, and they were actually good.
Yeah, surprisingly, right? Did you watch
Knuckles yet? Yeah, I was thoroughly shocked. I actually kind of enjoy them now. I've watched them both a couple times.
Ooh, did you watch Knuckles yet?
No, I have not. That's the TV show?
Yeah, it's only 6 episodes, so it's like 3 hours long. I'll
watch that tonight or tomorrow then.
Well, what I'm saying is I highly recommend being above the influence for episode 4 of that.
Okay, I will drink heavily.
It is. Would you like slight spoilers?
Sure.
Like
what kind go of ahead. Episode? I don't mind.
It's a musical.
Who's playing Knuckles again?
Idris Elba still, but it's a musical.
No, I'm kind of
sad you ruined that for me.
Oh, trust me. Like anything that your imagination can make about this will still not be enough. I haven't ruined jack fucking shit.
Yeah, I'm looking this up right now. I'm gonna go see if I can find it to watch online.
Yeah, I've easily. Heard it's pretty unhinged, the show. Like I need to see
it. It was surprisingly good. Like cool. But yeah.
Hockey's right, like, so I'm gonna ignore the show that we're doing and I'm gonna look for this to watch instead.
Hockey's gone.
I've already found it.
She's gonna get drunk and watch the whole thing like during the show. So anywho,
I am starting it right now, so yes.
So, movie news. Mortal Kombat 2 has a release date of October 25th this year. That got announced. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 apparently is going to be ready in time for Christmas.
Wow, really? That's a bad sign.
I've read two differing reports. One says that it will be ready for this Christmas. The other one says that it will be ready for Christmas 2025.
That makes more sense, but the movie just came out in like October. But
oh yeah, I know. But apparently, like it takes nothing to film. Like they cost nothing to film.
I mean, realistically, they're set in like 3 areas, and that's it. Scenes are in like 3 areas. It's very easy to film.
I still haven't seen the movie, so I can't really comment on any of that.
I heard it was actually decent.
It's fun. It's like super fun. Like it's way better than it had any right to be. It's got some problems, but it was like the kinds of problems I went to go see it with my wife, and it was talking about the motivation for certain character. It was like real movie stuff. We weren't saying this movie was dog shit. The movie was actually a lot of fun, and the Henson work with the animatronics were pretty great. So I mean, check it out.
Henson actually
I believe Henson Company actually worked on the animatronics.
Oh, wow.
They were really okay. Good. Really, really good. So yeah, it's a good sit. It's a good popcorn watch. Give that one a go.
All right. So I covered Five Nights at Freddy's, Mortal Kombat. What the heck else? Return to Silent Hill. We have seen Christoph Gans, was confirmed as returning for writer and director to the 2006 film. They're pretty much ignoring Silent Hill Revelation, which they definitely freaking should, because that movie was absolute dog shit. Oh, it was good to see in 3D once.
I'm odd because I've liked all the Silent Hill movies, all of them. I thought they were all fantastic. There's
only two.
I thought there was three.
No.
Well, I liked both of them then. I thought they were fun.
Were there some animated ones or something? Like some 3D ones? Oh, maybe not.
Probably. I haven't seen those.
I think you're thinking of Resident Evil.
Yeah, that had some.
Resident Evil has
40 movies now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like four CGI films. And they're not bad, but I didn't think any of them were that like exciting or that great.
I thought they were so fun.
Silent Hill.
Right. Oh yeah, Silent Hill. So that will be premiering at the Cannes Film Festival. I believe it's really? At this fall. Yeah. I'm assuming it's screening out of out of competition, but I mean if it's screening in competition, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that's legit. That's
what Image of Pyramid Head today.
Yeah, I shared that to the Facebook page as well.
It looked like he was claymation or something. It looked crazy.
I don't know if it looks claymation. I mean, but there's definitely like a shit ton of like detail inside like the pyramid. The pyramid head itself.
Yeah.
And then the only other movie news that I have is that Danny DeVito has said that he'd be up for voicing Wario in the Super Mario Brothers 2 movie.
Oh,
if asked.
My god. Low hanging fruit right there. That would be amazing.
That'd be so good.
Any
game news?
I don't think I have any game news. I was surprised with how much movie stuff that I had to talk about.
I'm surprised you're not gonna talk about the exclusive Disney Parks popcorn buckets.
Oh my god. All right. So, well, the thing is, I actually haven't crafted any of them. I've got the recipes for them, but Disney Dreamlight Valley talk. It doesn't really have the movie talk thing, but we'll workshop that one later. Anyway, so we're currently in the middle of like the new Star Path. I think there's like 35-ish days left. So the big things with this is that Daisy and Oswald the Lucky Rabbit have shown up in Dreamlight Valley. Oswald only shows up if you have the expansion for it. But this week with the I forget what they call the event. I think it's just called like the Star Event or Dreamlight Star Event or something like that. It's supposed to be like some festival, then you're supposed to redecorate your entire valley with like carnival rides and all this other kind of stuff if you want. But they've introduced like a ton of new cupcakes, and now there's popcorn buckets that you can craft, and it's all sorts of different stuff. Like there's a Mickey one. I know that there is a Stitch one. I don't remember all the characters, but the one that everyone is absolutely losing their shit over is Figment, who is some sort of character from the Disney theme parks. Do any of you know? I had an awful childhood, so I never went to the Disney parks.
No clue.
My family's poor, so no.
Yeah. So obviously none of our families cared about us. Okay, good to know. So Figment is somehow involved with like the Disney parks, and like I guess it got like removed like a few years ago, and people have been like fighting for Figment to like come back, or like as much as Disney fans can fight, which I think that's just bitch about it on Facebook. But anyway, and so a lot of people think that there's going to be some sort of big reveal that Figment is going to be the source of the spark of imagination in Dreamlight Valley. And so people think that we're going to be getting Figment as some sort of secret character at the end of summer. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. As long as I got more characters running around the valley and, you know, keeping me busy, I really don't give a shit. So, but yeah, Joe, any thoughts on those popcorn buckets, or was that just to get me to talk about Disney Dreamlight Valley for like 5 minutes?
I figured you wanted to talk about Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. And they added some new premium stuff to the shop this week. It's just a bunch of carnival rides. I don't think that there's a specific character suit. I missed out on Mickey's last week because of the... Oh my God, Joe, we didn't talk about the Xbox 360 store. The sale?
Joe.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
All right, so the Xbox...
Go ahead, Jacob, talk about it.
I'm fucking talking about it already. Damn.
I'm your tits. Jesus Christ, lady.
My tits will not be calm. They are going to go wherever I want them to. Anyway, so as we all know, except possibly Aki, the Xbox 360 Marketplace store is closing at, I think it's like the end of July this year. And everyone's been like, man, sure would be nice if like Microsoft discounted shit, you know, before it closed. Well, this week they dropped a surprise discount of like 60 odd games. Most of them are not backwards compatible. And they also announced that not only are these price cuts permanent until the end of until the store closes, but they are looking to work with publishers for June and July as well.
They have two more dates planned that they're going to have big sales added, and hopefully they cover a lot of games that are on my list at least.
Yeah, I mean, like honestly, I'm really glad that I've been broke as shit as of late, because I haven't spent any of the money that I thought I was going to on this store, and now all of a sudden, like there are like some obscure Xbox 360 games that in a million years I never would have considered picking up. Like there's like two handball games on there that are now like, they used to cost like $20-$25 each. They're now down to like $1.50,
or one's a dollar, one's two.
Yeah, wow. It's ridiculous.
Like I'll drop a dollar on a fucking game.
Oh, yeah.
I'll try anything for a dollar. Come on,
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Attaboy.
It's either now or never, literally now or never, because they're going away. Yeah. And you won't have a shot.
And so like so now I'm saving up all of like my Microsoft credit, and I'm just going to be using it to blow on the Xbox store from here on out until the end of July.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be focusing on all these games that are now on sale. So hell yeah. Get it while the getting's good. It's a bunch of Ubisoft and,
there's a lot of Just Dance games on sale.
I was just looking at the number of
there was like five of them. Yeah. But but it's Ubisoft titles
too.
And what the heck was CI? I forget what the heck they stood for. But anyway, it's like three different game distribution companies that got involved on this one. I'm really hoping for like an EA or well, hell, I'm just looking for any discount, really.
Yeah, I'll take what I could get at this point. Shit.
But a lot of these are not backwards compatible. Is that what you said?
Correct. Yeah,
they are only available on 360.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah. And a lot of people are also hoping that Microsoft will make it easier for us to download all of our games, because, yeah, I need to read down Battle Los Angeles and the Yaris games and the way that their system works. Yeah, that's the thing. Like that Battle Los Angeles game came out like what, 2010? Yeah. So, anywho,
yeah, the download history page on 360
it's broken
is lacking.
It's broken. Like is I it? Can't even I can't even view it. It tells me that this website's not available
on the console.
Yeah, I logged in 2 days ago when they first announced the sale. Like so I could see like you know. Because I started making a list of like which games I already have, and so I don't have to focus on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because yeah, the fourth alone or fifth Alone in the Dark game, like when they did the 2008 reboot, that or wait 2006, I don't know. It's been a while. Anyway, when they did that reboot, that was one of the ones that got permanently knocked down in price. So I was double checking to see that I had it.
Man.
Good story.
Yeah. So get those games on sale, kids.
How come? And give me more Microsoft credit because you love me.
Yeah. Grant, any news on your end?
I'm sorry, what, Joe? What'd you say?
Any news?
Welcome to Grant's Pinball Corner. I got some real life in the world pinball news for you all. This is why I'm here. I'm sorry, but I did want to let everyone know that the John Wick pinball machine was released by Stern this week.
Ooh. Yo, that design, the art design on that thing,
yeah,
that is fucking dope as shit.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Honestly, like I kind of wish that they would just make a print of it just so I could buy it, frame it, and hang it up on a wall. Like it is fantastic looking.
Yeah, they went kind of leaned into the nightclub thing, I think, you know, like kind of the glowing edges, purple stuff.
It goes unnecessarily hard. I love it.
It does. Interesting comment about going hard. There was a bit of controversy around this release because someone realized that there on the artwork on the game, on the playfield sides back, there's not a single firearm. Like there's not a single gun anywhere on the machine. And people sort of freaked out because that's what people do. Like, you know, Stern not wanting to put guns on the machine. Turns out it was a Lionsgate decision. It was a licensing thing. They got going through art approvals. At Lionsgate, they decided they did not want any guns in the art on the game. There's plenty of game footage. Like, there's tons of videos from all of the movies on the game when you play it. But I think it has to do with the fact that pinball machines are in a lot of public spaces, like all ages spaces.
Yeah.
And so when you are, you know, playing a game, you are taking agency, you are playing a game to experience the videos and stuff. And so they did decide they did not want, you know, a giant gun on the side of their machine. But there were a few days where people were just confused. But it's also funny. It took a while for anyone to really notice because the game is absolutely gorgeous. You know, other than that fact. But yeah, that was a kind of interesting, weird spiral for the week for that game. But yeah, John Wick's out, so you might find one of your
quick question games. from the crowd. First off, big thanks to Sir Khaled who just subbed and dropped their money. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your sub. Enjoy the emotes. Enjoy all the kitty cats. And then Drew Van Camp was asking if it is on the Pro Premium or Limited Edition design, or if it's all of them
for the lack of guns?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, none of the art on any of the machines has a gun.
None of them.
Yeah, for people who don't know, there's a Pro, a Premium, and an LE for every machine they make now. And then they have, you know, the Pro is basic, is the more base model. The Premium has, like, more stuff. Depending on the game, it'll be more ramps or more mechs or whatever and a better light package. And the Limited is, like, has extra glitter, basically. And there's a few $1,000 price difference between them, but they always have different art packages. That's just part of what they do, you know, something for you to go off to your friends if you get the limited one. But none of them actually have any. There's no guns on the art. There's guns in the videos. There's movie footage everywhere, but none on the artwork. And that was just a thing that Lionsgate decided they wanted to restrict,
which I think I was gonna say, like, the public playing the game in public, I get that. With the gun thing, I was also wondering if, like, maybe it's a licensing issue too.
Well, that's really what it is. It's
those different brands of guns.
Yes, there was a lot of talk about is it a problem? That would make sense because like car games will make like some reasonable version of a Mustang, but it's not actually a Mustang. And some people were thinking it might have to do with the actors holding them in the art because they do a lot of stuff based on photos. It really just came down to Lionsgate not wanting any guns on the machine outside of the art.
With that and like how it could show videos from from the movies in there, that also makes me wonder if like there's some sort of like internal setting on that so people can disable like the videos or like any of the really violent ones get disabled.
I'm sure they have dip switches for all that stuff.
They've been doing that more. They've done everything from like Rick and Morty. Even the Sopranos game from back in the early 2000s, I guess.
Are you talking about a Sopranos pinball? Or?
Yeah, there's a Sopranos pinball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I was just making sure that you weren't about to like start talking about the GTA ripoff.
No.
They did.
No, they actually made a Sopranos machine, and that was the very first adult mode in a game, and it's just a bunch of fucks. It's just a bunch of it's really kind of hilarious to hear all these sound samples. But so there's been adult modes in games for a while, and you may be right. Maybe they did something for this as well. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. So, but
maybe they'll come to Pinball M in the future.
Yes. Yes.
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is finally coming next month.
It is. It is. There's a real Texas Chainsaw pin came out end of last year, believe it or not.
There is. My sister saw it in person. I got to get up there and visit her and go check out this Bartari arcade because it looks awesome as shit. And I could play that table.
Yep.
Yeah, buddy.
No, so wait, hold on. Wait, real quick. Let's see. That's it. Done. Close. Bookmark.
Moving cool. On. Well, are we getting into reviews?
Sure.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Okay. I forgot.
Go right back into Boss Squad, baby.
Right back. Okay, we're hit. Are we in or out? I can't count anymore.
Can't stop dealing with those balls.
Oh, man. All right. First game to talk about tonight is Pinball FX, developed and published by Zen Studios. All tables released May 16th for all platforms for Pinball FX as DLC. There are three packs we're going to talk about tonight. First up is Super League Football, which is $2.99. Guide your football team in the quest to become Super League champions. It is free for the first week on console and free for the first month on PC. So get it everywhere. Get that free table. Grant, tell us about your time with Super League Football.
Yeah, free is great. Football Super League is from it's an older game they made for Pinball FX 2. So even before Pinball FX 3, they made this football Super League table, and it's a soccer / football themed table. Obviously, I think the layout of this game mirrors a lot of stuff you might expect from an older '90s table. It plays just like a match. It's basically about scoring more points than the other team. The sling on the left has your score. The sling on the right has their score. It has a little mini play field at the top with a goal, little goalkeeper going back and forth, some defenders in front of him. You're trying to get the ball up there to shoot the goal. The more points you score, that removes the number of defenders on that play field. So if you keep scoring, you'll kind of open up your path to score a goal on the top. And then you can lock balls in a number of places on the table, and they look like soccer balls, by the way, which is amazing. It's kind of fun to actually see the little hexagon spinning around on these balls. But you can lock the balls into different parts of the table, and then when you score a goal, it releases all the balls for multi-ball and plays like salsa music, and there's like streamers and fireworks. It's actually a lot of fun. It's very, very colorful, very high-spirited game. And
you mentioned the pattern on the ball. Dare I say it's distracting?
It is. I got more used to it, and I almost think the physics might be a bit different on these. They bounce a little more. I had a couple of. There's a thing in pinball called a Lazarus, where a ball will go down the center and then bounce off the frame of the machine and come back up in between the flippers. And I've had a few of those, And I've never had that before in a Zen game. So I think the balls are just a little more soccer ballish, perhaps. I don't know. But it is it messes with your brain, especially when you're watching a ball come down that has like really fast spin on it. It's a little weird. But yeah, you play against a timer. The timer leads into halftime. And when you get to halftime, it triggers a halftime multi-ball. So you sort of play the halftime show. And then when you lose all but one ball, you can lock the ball to start the second half. It's really cool. And I find it really easy to read. The shots feel really good. It's a pretty easy table to understand. It's fun to shoot without trying to like squint and figure out what you're supposed to do next.
The side drains, how they have the penalty kick flippers.
Oh, I forgot about the penalty kick. Yeah, they're the extra flippers. Those are so cool. Yeah, so if you have your like if you have a kickback enabled, which is when a ball will normally fire back up when it goes out the outlane, this little post will come up and grab the ball before you drain and give you a moment to prep. And there's a little flipper down there on each side of the machine, and you can pop the flipper and shoot the ball back into play, which is it's like a great way of making a save in football, for example. And so, yeah, but if you don't have that lit, they still function. You can still flip them, but you just don't get that prep time. But I completely forgot about that. That was a really cool idea. There's some old tables that have that kind of save mechanic. You don't see them as often because sometimes it makes ball times go too long in the arcade.
Yeah.
And no one likes that.
This ain't arcade. This ain't arcade. I want to play for 20 minutes if I want.
Yeah, it's like diving for the ball. It's great. It's goalkeeping, right? So... yeah, but I love this table. I never actually got a chance to play it because it was removed years ago. Maybe it was a licensing related thing, I'm not sure, but it was pulled off and they've rebuilt it in Unreal. There's players running around, there's like pictures of the dev team on the play field, which is hilarious. But I really like this game, and it's free for 2 weeks. Yeah. So just go grab the client, go grab the game. If you want to get some good free pinball in there, you'll have this game in addition to whatever the other default free table is. I can't remember. But great game.
So that gets your seal of approval.
Yep. I do. I'm a fan. You can't beat free. No waiting for a sale if you act quick.
But
it's really good. It's really good. You can tell that the rules aren't overthought. It's not so complex to just shoot some balls and lock them and have fun.
I wonder if part of this table going away for a while was because they got the Williams World Cup table.
Maybe. I think it disappeared way before the Williams stuff, though. I don't think it was in FX3, but I might be wrong. So I'm just going to make stuff up. Too old.
That works. Pacific Rim Pinball 549. Go big or go extinct. Prime your senses for a neural handshake and step into the cockpit of a Jaeger. It is on you to cancel the apocalypse. Grant, tell us about your time with Pacific Rim Pinball.
Pacific Rim is not a new movie. But it's not an old movie. Didn't they make a sequel? Did they make a sequel to Pacific Rim?
I think so.
They did.
They did, yeah. Didn't they? Okay.
I think Charlie Hunnam in that one, or was he in the first?
Oh, he was in the first one. The Charlie Day?
Oh, Charlie I thought Hunnam. He was in both.
Oh.
Oh.
Was he in both?
I thought Charlie Day
was in both.
He's like the scientist guy, right? Kind of crazy.
Yeah. But John... I don't know how to pronounce his last name. The guy who played Finn from The Force Awakens.
Oh, he was in?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he was. That's right. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah. And I think they made an anime show too.
Okay. So they've been doing Pac Rim stuff. These guys got the Pac Rim license and decided to make pinball out of it. It's fun to shoot robots. No Charlie Day in this table. Too bad. His face should have been the play field, just his face, but no.
Maybe we'll get Always Sunny Pinball in Pinball M. Oh,
I would be fine with that. Talk about an adult mode. yeah. I think this is a really a fun game. I think this game is easier to shoot than a lot of the other games in these collections we're going to talk about. Really good sound and music, a lot of good kind of left flipper, right flipper stuff. It's all about making the handshakes for the robot stuff. So the table is set up in kind of a fan layout. So it's all about, you know, shooting the right flipper, hitting a left ramp, and then it goes down to the left flipper, shoot a right ramp, and trying to keep these combos going. And there are a lot of cool enemies in this game. There's like that pop out from the bottom of the play field. And what I like about this one, unlike some others, is that sometimes the enemies will come up in random places, but there's a light on the table that will illuminate to show you where they're going to pop out. So you can kind of prepare your shot before they show up if you time it right. So that's pretty cool. There's a thing that Zen has been doing in their tables that I don't like. And it's on like every other table. I've mentioned this before, but you know the in lanes that feed your flippers, the lanes near the bottom of the machine, there are always lights on them. The way it works in most pinball is that you try to light those up to complete a goal. And never in a real machine has a light ever turned off when you roll over it. They just turn on. You just get points because the lane's lit. Zen does this thing where they, if you don't have the right lane lit, it will turn a light off. And it's so frustrating. They do it again. Every other table seems to do this. I'm of the mind that you should never take points away from the player. And this feels kind of like that. Unfortunately, this does do that. It's just a personal thing, and I'll mention whether or not each of these tables does this or not, but it is kind of a bummer. Not a deal breaker, but that is the one thing that is always a ding for me, because that's just not something you normally do in pinball.
Part of me thinks it's mainly to make it harder to earn kickbacks on the sides.
It is. I think maybe it is.
I get what you mean by taking away. Like, you shouldn't have to lose out on stuff on pinball. It's already hard enough.
It is. I think like if the problem is you're afraid you'll collect kickbacks too quickly, have people fill the lights up twice to get a kickback. Figure something else out. But that's just a strange thing that I'm not used to seeing. I'm not used to seeing you hit the wrong shot, so we're going to unlight it. Is just an odd choice. But this table does have that. But still, I think it's fun to shoot. I think it's easier. It's a lot easier to understand than a lot of the modern tables. And robots are cool. The only other thing I don't like is the GLaDOS voice is just a bit too much. I mean, you heard that too, right? It's just GLaDOS. Okay. I don't remember if the movie sounded just like GLaDOS, but I can't help but think of GLaDOS, and it's a little strange to me. Not the choice I would have made maybe for the voice. Other than that, love the sound and music on this table. But it plays pretty well.
Cool. $6 or $5.49. Your thoughts on that?
I would call this probably average to above average. If you like Pacific Rim and you like robots, it's a fun table to shoot. It's also not as hard. It's also not my favorite that they've put out in the last year or so, but I think it's worth trying. And there's, of course, trials for these too. So give it a play. See what you think.
In the movie, it was Ellen McLean who did the voice.
Was it really?
So it was GLaDOS in the movie. I don't know if they got her for the pinball table or not, but...
Well,
it sounds like her.
It does sound like her. They had a good sound alike. That is really funny. Wow.
Or they got her.
They nailed it then. I guess I take it back. I don't know. There you go.
Next up, Universal Pinball TV Classics, $14.99 for a 3-pack. We got 3 tables to discuss. Xena, Warrior Princess Pinball in a Time of Ancient Gods. Warlords and kings, a land in turmoil, cried out for a hero. Join Xena, the mighty princess, as she fights epic villains with the help of her friends, Gabrielle and Joxer. Grant, how'd Xena treat you?
Xena is pretty good. It's a regular size machine. It's not a wide body, which I like better. Some of the wide body machines are just, it feels like there's a whole lot of table and everything is a lot smaller on your screen. It has some pretty neat ramps and mechanics. It's got this cool figure eight at the top where the ball can kind of travel from the left side to the right side. And sometimes it gets forced around with a motor. It's kind of neat. This one does suffer from the rollover lanes turning off lights. And that's too bad. However, it's for some reason the way the ball travels to them, it's way easier to prepare for them. It actually gives you a chance to look and see what lights are lit. So you can kind of hit the flippers and move them around so the ball will hit the lights at the right time. So not as egregious in this one. I will say that the slings are really mean in this game. I don't know if you noticed that too, but if you get caught in the slings back and forth, it almost always goes to the outlane for me. I have to bump a lot to make that not happen. I don't know what would be different about this machine to make that be the case, but I did find it to be a bit tough. A lot of enemies to fight, a lot of different things popping up in different modes. there's an interesting thing this game does, just like Battlestar, where they use... Normally what happens in pinball is you'll light a few lights, and then you shoot a scoop, and then a mode starts, or you pick a mode to start. This game and Battlestar use different areas of the playfield to start modes, so you might hit three targets to start a mode, you might hit a shot like four times to start a mode. I don't know if they can stack. I think they can. I couldn't quite get to that point where I was trying to stack them for more points, but it's definitely not traditional, which I'm glad they're trying something new. It's neat. I'm not sure exactly how I feel about it, but it is interesting that you could potentially stack a bunch of different stuff on top of each other to get more points. There isn't much of a narrative in this game. You don't really feel like you're traveling through an episode or anything like that. It's hard to sometimes know who's talking or what's happening. I think if you're a big fan of the show, you'll probably recognize voices. There's a combination of like samples from the show and then voice acting in here. But I did find that I was not really understanding exactly what was going on or who was telling me things at any given time. But that's okay. But it's just something I noticed. Also, did you get to that mode where you have to balance her walking across this beam, this ladder?
I did not get to that mode.
Well, she's like walking on this ladder and you have to shoot different directions so she balances. And it's really hilarious when you mess up and she falls into the table and smashes stuff. I just want to mention that. We don't want Xena to fall down, but when she does, it's pretty funny. I also say the one thing I like is that a lot of times in pinball, modes these days are timed. I think this is an arcade thing, but modes will only last like 30 seconds. It's all about the hurry up shot. It's about doing something as fast as possible. And there aren't as many timed modes in here, or the timers are really long. So you actually feel like you can kind of chill out and plan and aim, which is cool. And I also found a few multi-ball bugs. I had some balls randomly fire when I don't believe I had triggered anything to happen. It was hard to tell because the music didn't change, so I don't think I'd actually triggered a mode. I think I actually just hit a bug. But you know, is what it is. And there is a cool sort of subterranean mini play field, which is neat. If you can get it pulled up to play. Yeah. I like that better than like the kind of video modes. So yeah, pretty cool table. I would call it probably pretty average as well. I think there are a couple strange things. I do think the table's a little more mean than Pacific Rim, but it's really pretty. It can be hard to read some of the stuff on the machine, but they definitely capture the Xena vibe.
Cool. Sure. How about Knight Rider Pinball? Sit behind the wheel and use Kit superior technology to face off against the greatest threats on the road, like car, punch the turbo boost and activate super pursuit mode, and engage auto cruise to let the table play automatically. Grant, what's going on in Knight Rider Pinball?
Yes, they did that. They made a mode. They made an autopilot, which is hilarious. Knight Rider is just cool. It's just, you know what I mean? It's the Hoff with the hair and the car. They got the music kicking. They get some really good sort of like arrangements of Knight Rider music in here, which fit really well. It feels like an older machine to me. It's giant. It feels like an old Black Hole or a Mars God of War table. It's massive. It's got this big row of five drop targets, which is...
It's definitely built like an 80s machine.
Yep, very much, which fits, and I appreciate that. Kit is on the play field and talking to you constantly. I don't know who did the voice, but he did a great job. Sounds like Kit. He's all over the place. He's driving around. He's doing donuts. He'll say ouch when you hit him, and there's no reason to. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. The rollover lanes do turn the lights off, which is too bad. And this is the worst example of it because there's six of them and they're triggered very quickly. So it could be a bit hard to try and manage that stuff. Autopilot's insane. You basically hit the spinner enough times and autopilot triggers, and you use the flippers to choose where you want the ball to maybe go, and the game just plays. It's wild. I haven't figured out if you get more points for that or if there's a reason to do that, but I will say that the two times I did it, the ball got stuck in the shooter lane and the shooter wouldn't shoot it completely back out. The autopilot just timed out because it wasn't shooting the ball hard enough to get it out, which is kind of weird. But a really cool idea. There's some fun glitch effects. It's got the 80s in spades, and I really like the sound effects on this machine. Zen doesn't always put sound effects on all the targets, which I feel like is a bit of a missed opportunity. A lot of times you hit a lit target and it just doesn't make any sound at all. But there's a lot of sound effects in this one. I feel like it sounds great. And the only real complaint I have about this one is the outlanes are pretty hungry. It's a big table. It's a big open area in the middle. Sometimes the ball is just going that direction. So you really got to use the nudge in this game to keep the ball going. But that also kind of fits with the 80s style too. So.
I think my biggest issue with this one was the loop on the Knight Rider theme was just too short. Like it's such a banger of a theme, but like every 30 seconds, longer. Give me a longer loop in there.
Yeah, that's what they use for like the main play. When you start modes, there'll be different versions of the theme or variations. But yeah, the main loop.
Yeah, well, I'm not good at the game, Grant.
Yeah, I know. You need to get to work, Joe. Come on, man. Yeah, Knight Rider's cool.
One last table, Battlestar Galactica pinball. Take control of the Battlestar Galactica. Keep humanity one step ahead of the Cylon threat. Keep them at bay by fighting space battles and resisting subterfuge. You must keep everyone alive and reach the final goal, Earth. So say we all. How's this table?
So say we all. They do just say that a lot in this game. Do you guys watch Battlestar? Do you guys watch this series? The one... 2000s.
I mean, I watched the original and I watched some of the new one.
Yeah, it's cool. Oh, we did. I think we talked about this. Brie was talking about that too. She's seen the old one back in the day. Yeah, this is the more recent one, the 2000 like 3 to 6, 7, something like that. This is probably my least favorite table in the pack. However, it doesn't turn the lights off on the inlanes. It's the one table that doesn't do that thing I keep mentioning. And I don't know why. I don't know why this one doesn't do it. And it's too bad. I wish I could port that to Knight Rider. But yeah, that's good. They didn't do that, I guess. It's got a bunch of stuff going on. It has a kind of a mini mode where you shoot aliens. It's got a little screen and you're on a radar and you move the ship around and shoot aliens. It lasts a little too long, but it is kind of fun. It's also like Xena, where you shoot different areas of the playfield to start modes. So, again, I'm not sure how the point stuff works if you stack them, but it's definitely not traditional. I don't know who did the voices in this game, but they're fantastic. Whoever did the president sounds dead on to the actress. I was kind of shocked, and I'm a big fan of her. So that's awesome. The sound is a bit messed up in this game. I feel like the sound effects balance is really strange. There's really long sounds that happen for just a quick target hit. The sounds are really loud and they cover up the VO a lot of the time, so you can't hear what voices are saying. A little odd, and there's a general sort of lack of visual clarity I found on this machine. It looks really cool, but it's a bit harder to read. And overall, I feel like I got into a mode where I needed to travel to New Earth, and it took forever. I feel like this game suffers from what you talk about a lot in pinball. You call it chopping wood. There's a lot of chopping wood in this game where you're just needing to continue to do something over and over again to complete the goal. So it ends up feeling a little sluggish to me, but it does play pretty well. But I do think this one probably is at the bottom of the list for this three pack for me.
Oh, it is a three pack and it clocks in at $15. What are your thoughts on the Universal Pinball TV Classics?
My favorite is Knight Rider for sure. It's hard, but that is also how these old games are. It kind of hits me hard with the aesthetics. I feel like Xena is sort of right in the middle, very middle ground table, and Battlestar I'm not a big fan of. So this is sort of it's the pack where if you want to play one of them, you're going to play all of them. So yeah. Mileage may vary. I've heard some other people reverse order these. I mean, I think like it depends on the kind of machine you're looking for. But I do think that these tables are pretty good. I don't think it's as solid as the board game pack they released a few months ago. But it is good. Again, because you can try these, I would say give them a spin, see what you think. But I would think at full price, I think there are possibly better other packs that you might like better from them. But Knight Riders, I love it. I love Knight Rider a lot. And
I love Pacific Rim. I think Pacific Rim might be my favorite out of the five.
Well, so there's the three pack for Knight Rider, Xena, and Battlestar. Pacific Rim is awesome. Okay, so if we're going for all of them, Pacific Rim is great, and it's absolutely worth the money. And Football Super League is maybe my favorite of all of them, except for maybe Knight Rider, can't decide. And it's free. So you're getting some pinball.
$3.99 for the first week on console. Get it now.
Do it. Absolutely. So
do it up.
That has been, that's a whole lot of pinball for one session. But
indeed, our friend Glenn Case, he had some hands-on time with some of the new tables. He wrote in a little blurb he wanted me to read quick. He says, I think Zen is the top dog in video game pinball at this point, and with good reason. They keep looking for ways to improve, evolve, and innovate. They continue to go after interesting licensing. Over time, I'm probably going to continue to buy everything that comes out, regardless of whether or not I care about the licensing question, because the tables are honestly just fun. I enjoyed Knight Rider growing up and have never watched an episode of Xena, and yet I enjoyed playing both of those tables. Autopilot on Knight Rider is an interesting idea, but it was a bit weird at first. Ultimately, it's Zen, and they're killing it in a good way, and I hope they continue to make tables for years to come, and I can agree with that.
Yep. Absolutely. I love the peculiar licenses here. I mean, they're clearly going for a demographic, not a theme. It's not a sci-fi theme. It's like it's a person of a certain age they're going for here. So I like that. I hope they keep that kind of thing going.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for you, Grant. We will. Did you want to stick around, or are you going to head out?
I'm going to stick around because Aki's got a review I want to listen to. So.
Cool. All right. Well, we will move on. Next game, Neptunia Sisters versus Sisters, developed by Idea Factory and Compile Heart, published by Idea Factory International, releasing May 21st on Xbox One Series X and S for $39.99. This is a story about finding hope in the midst of despair and the rebirth of a goddess in the wake of destruction. Aki, what is going on in Neptunia Sisters versus Sisters?
Okay. This game starts off with all the older sisters heading off to PC land to go and help them with, I don't know, and you move over to playing as the younger sisters for this one. They go to find where some monsters are coming out of to stop them, to make sure their people are safe, and end up finding some other woman trapped inside of some sort of chamber. You wake her up, and she immediately shoves all of you into it, and closes it, and knocks you all out. 2 years later, all of you wake up, because some people find you, and the entirety of Play Industries, or Game Industries, whatever the hell the name of Neptunia's place is, has completely changed. Neptunia never came back from the mission. Monsters are just appearing out of rifts all over the place, and it's very dangerous. All of the magic and power that all of the Neptunia girls had is severely diminished because all of their stocks have dropped and the people's belief in them have dropped. And instead, suddenly there's new technology here. Our phones. I bet you can guess what those are. And they have taken all the shares. So it's up to you and all the other younger sisters to try and figure out what the hell's happened in the 2 years that you've been gone. And to try and fix things, to save your people, and to figure out what happened in the PC land.
Fucking yeah!
This is very much like most of the other Neptunia games. You go around, you attack enemies from behind if you can, and then beat the ever-living shit out of them. This one isn't quite as turn-based as lots of the other ones were. Lots of the prior ones aren't exactly grid-based. They put you in a circle and you can move around within it to a certain amount and then do an attack. This one is, it still puts you in a circle, but you get to move around. It's a full action instead. It's very nice.
You know what else is very nice? Horror Acolyte coming in, dropping with a sub for the fifth month. Thank you so much, Horror Acolyte. Enjoy the emotes. Thank you for your support. Enjoy all the kitty cats. There's a lot of kitty cats.
Such a waste of money. I'm so sorry. In this you get to meet some new people. You're still thankfully dealing with lots of the characters that you've met in prior games like Historia, IF, etc., etc. So that's nice. And yeah, it's still, you know, basically the same dungeons that you've seen 100 times over from the game industry land. Is they're basically about the same ish. They're not the exact same, but they're close enough that you'll look at and you'll be like, okay, I've kind of seen something like this before. They do add in a new mechanic to the game that I'm pretty sure wasn't in any of the other games. You can actually create little game discs, and you can have up to 4 of them installed, and they give you little bonuses. And they're actual games. Like, you get to determine, like, oh, is this going to be a first-person shooter? Is it an action game? Is it a puzzle game? Etc., etc. You get to choose one of those attributes, and then you get to choose some other attributes. Namely, this character will give it some extra attributes that are based on whatever, I'm not entirely sure. And then you pull an item, and that also adds to its abilities. And then you create it, and it takes some period of time in-game to actually make, which kind of sucks, but, you know, as is life. And then it gets made, and you can equip it, and it gives you some extra abilities when you're in combat, which is pretty cool. Some of them are like, oh, I can just do more damage in this way, or I defend a little better against this, that, and the other. I didn't really fiddle with this too much, because I just didn't really understand it all that well. Yeah, they
didn't explain it that well.
Yeah, so I've created like 2 of them, I think, and I don't remember what I keep
creating them. I just don't know, like, which ones are better. What should I do with the old ones? Like,
you destroy the old ones and you get your resources back.
Like, should I be doing certain combinations as opposed to other like, it's a lot of trial and error in there.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point in the future that Steam will have a guide of, oh, here are the best ones. I'm sure there already is one eventually
somewhere, because Sisters versus Sisters has been out on other platforms for a while. It's finally making the jump to Xbox next week. How's the performance on Xbox?
It occasionally has some stuttering of, like, the background stuff. Like, when I'm running around, sometimes the floor visibly stutters, yeah, even though, like, my character isn't.
It's in, like, the exploration segments of the game. Everything else seems to be nice and smooth, but during the actual exploration, it just seems juddery or jittery. Something seems off. I don't know if it's a frame rate issue, if it's a performance issue. I really can't pinpoint what it is, but it took a while to get used to.
Also, you are correct. Someone already has at least a form of a guide. I don't think it tells you exactly how to build everything, but it tells you, hey, you need these. These are some of the best items you can make. So, yeah. But yeah, you can also, obviously, you can equip your characters with different stuff. Be it different weapons, which are visually signified in the game. They actually change the color of the weapon, and sometimes the shape of it a little bit, not a lot. And you can also equip
accessories. Other items.
Yeah, accessories. That's the word I was going for. Which just change the appearance of your character. Doesn't actually add anything to it, but they can look pretty cool. Like
hats,
I think,
and masks and sunglasses and ribbons and All kinds of cool wings, shit to customize your character.
Yeah, they're pretty cute. I think almost every one of my characters have some sort of set of wings on them because they're just so cute.
And I'm sure you noticed, but I believe the Xbox version of the game by default comes with the swimsuit DLC included.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Trust me, I did notice. However, in this one, the swimsuits look kind of weird because, like, their face doesn't seem to really match the body that it's put on, because the coloration's just so drastically different between them, which is weird. But as is life, it happens sometimes. I guess that's really a majority of it.
It's been a long journey coming to Xbox. I'm so glad. Neptunia is finally on Xbox. Is it worth the wait? It's $40. It's $10 cheaper than other platforms.
Oh, shit.
Possibly because we had to wait so long, and maybe based on what content is included in the different versions. I think Switch had like a different DLC pack included. But it's $40. What are your thoughts?
I'm really for this. I think it's a fantastic game. I really love the Neptunia games, though, so I am 100% biased. I think it's funny, and this one doesn't focus on Neptunia herself this time. And usually she, even in games, she refers to herself as the protagonist. Like, when she talks to other people, she'll say she's the protagonist. She's not the protagonist of that game, of this game, and that's really fun for me, just because it's something weird and interesting. So, yeah, I really like this one.
Cool. All right, next game, I Am Your President, developed and published by Ultimate Games, released May 8th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $19.99. Get into the character of Mr. President and choose the answers that best suit the situation. Different options can help make you allies, but also enrage your previous supporters. Be careful with words and make sure that you don't neglect any of the prominent groups or important people, or do and deal with the problems later. Jacob, what's going on? And I Am Your President.
Did the devs ever get back to you?
No.
Okay. So I Am Your President is a supposed simulation game that is really more so a slightly more interactive visual novel. And what it is that there are different situations that you can go into, and you have to decide like how you're going to be running the country. But it's a lot of things. Like, it is first off deciding like what your campaign promise is going to be. I chose we're going to have a human land on Mars by the time that I'm done with the presidency. But there's other stuff too, like, you know, we'll have the number one military in the world again, or like it's all sorts of like random stuff. But then you also have to choose your cabinet, and also who is going to sit closest to you, you know, in terms of like that sphere of influence, although it's really more of a square of influence in this one. But and then like you have to hold press conferences and answer questions, and like how quickly are you going to answer a question? What relationship are you going to have with the press? And then I really recommend doing this on easy and the tutorial level first, just so you can like, because the game will just ease you into everything else, and it'll be like a couple weeks before you finally have everything at your disposal. So not only cabinet, but family life. And then like, there's also the world map, where you can decide like who you're going to have trade agreements with, who you're going to spy on, who are you going to have military bases at. And it gets really involved, surprisingly. And then of course, as I said, like you have to choose what you're going to say. And I was a little frustrated with some problem. Yeah, because it's just like you're given like three or four options, and I'm like, none of these are things that I would have said like at all. Like,
I thought your gripe was going to be you couldn't read what was the option.
I'm getting there.
Is that because it's smaller? Just because he can't read?
It's yes, because it's smaller. But that's anyway, what she said. So so like, for instance, like 3 years into my presidency, I get this notification that, oh my God, we've discovered that there's going to be the solar storm hitting right around this like same lunchtime, and it could kill the crew if you decide to like send them to Mars, or we have to wait like, or we have to wait and the next launch window is after your first term is done. Like, what do you want to do? And so like you are given you're given two like choices with it, you know, either you send the team to Mars or you tell the country, sorry, I couldn't keep up with my campaign promise, which I'm like, what the fuck? Like, never in a million years, like, would I have, like, you know, decided to tell the country, oh yeah, by the way, I couldn't keep up with my campaign promise. Like, there was no option to just go to the country and explain, listen, like, I'm not willing to risk this, like, team of scientists' lives and all of this technology for something that is very likely going to kill them. I would rather wait and, you know, have everything go through. Even if my president, like, even if my presidency is done by then, I would rather ensure the safety of the scientists. There's no option for anything like that. It's either or. And those kind of choices I felt was very frustrating with it.
Sometimes life requires hard choices.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but again, still, like,
President Garner.
There was still, like, plenty of times where it was just like, these are not options. I didn't think that there was enough choices with it. But then also, like, the text size, this is clearly a game that was made for people playing it on PC and sitting in front of their desk. There is supposedly an option to improve, like, the GUI size, but it didn't actually do anything for it. And thankfully my wife decided that she was going to move the couch much closer to the TV anyway. So I didn't have to, like, find another chair and, like, drag it into the living room just so I could review this game. Because you really do have to be close to the screen to read everything. The visual style is, it's amusing. Like, they have these cardboard cutouts of, like, stock images of people that they make them do, like, walking noises, but it's really just, like, the character, like, almost like how, like, a little kid would play with it, like, you know, just, like, kind of, like, stomping their feet on the ground while yeah, moving them closer. And yeah, also achievements are listed for this game, supposedly, but when you start up the game, you get an error message saying that you can't connect to the server. And yeah, there's no achievements right now. It feels like the game kind of launched early, but yeah, all in all, it's interesting. I won't say I had fun with this game, but I was intrigued pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. Well, it clocks in at $20. Do you think it's worth the risk? Should people wait on this? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, what you can do is wait for a sale, even though it might be at the end of your presidency, but I think it's going to have a much richer outcome for your wallet if you do wait on this. Also, I do like all the promotion, self-promotion that the devs did inside the game. They have a version of Twitter, which is called Screecher. And all the hashtags are like wishlist this game on Steam, like, love your indie game devs, like, stuff like that. I thought that was fun.
Cool. The achievements are not live on True Achievements yet, so I don't know what is going on with that.
I don't know. I'm hoping it gets fixed real soon.
So, next game, Children of the Sun, developed by Renee Rother, published by Devolver Digital, released April 9th on Steam for $14.99. On a deadly road trip into darkness, control the path of a single bullet, unleash the fury of vengeance on the sinister cult that ruined your life in this tactical puzzler shooter. Can you tell us about your time with Children of the Sun?
Okay, so this is pretty dark, pretty sick and twisted. I loved it. In this, you play as a young woman, I believe, and your family joined a cult at one point, and you were created. And you somehow have some sort of telepathy, at least I think it's telepathy is what it's called. You can fire a bullet, kill somebody with it, and then take control of the bullet, move it around, and fire it off again from inside that person's skull. Fuck yeah, so awesome. The cult fucked over your family, so you decided, well, fuck you guys, I'm gonna kill every last one of you. Have fun! And you proceed to do exactly that. Every level has, you know, I think the first level starts with like five or six guys that you have to kill, and like it just gets bigger and bigger. Like the last level, I think, has like 30 something people to kill in it. You know, every now and then you'll get some new abilities, like you'll get the ability to actually take control of the bullet even more and curve it to an extent. Kind of like if you were in that movie Wanted, I think is what it was. Or even much later on, you get an ability to just basically just take control of a bullet, let it aim, and then fire it while it's still moving, which is very complicated, and I don't like that ability. It is so hard to use because the bullet is still moving. And they give you a bunch of different types of enemies. Sometimes you can't shoot them from directly in front of them because they might be holding a shield, or maybe they're wearing full-on body armor, so you have to superpower your bullet by just making it move even faster by pushing it with your mind. It's fucking awesome. It doesn't matter where you shoot the people, they die in one hit. It doesn't matter.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
But basically, with lots of your abilities, you have the ability to really sit there and aim. Once you hit somebody, you have all the time in the world to aim if you want. So you don't get to zoom in again after you fire the first bullet, which kind of sucks, but you can spend a long time setting up the next shot if you want. If an enemy sees someone killed in close proximity of them, they will start running, but time is slowed down quite heavily to make sure you get to aim well. And it also even puts, like, you have a little crosshair and an X, and a different color pops up when you're actually aimed on somebody, and it will hit them. It's really cool. I thoroughly enjoy this game. I 100%ed it. It was fucking phenomenal. Most of the achievements on this, you have to go kind of out of your way to get, because they are for doing certain things in certain levels. That you are given hints for in those levels. Like, one level might be...
Oh,
you
need, man, to get their all clues headshot. Are so cryptic, too. Like,
yeah, they can be.
Direct hits hit the hardest. Just passing through their homes. Like, how do you figure this shit out?
I looked it up. Peter. Some of them were kind of... Some of them I got just by accident. Some of them were kind of obvious, like headshots hit the hardest, or direct shots hit the hardest, or whatever it was, that first one you said. That's just getting all headshots. I didn't even know there were achievements for doing special things until long after I got that, even. Because I thought they were just achievements for beating certain levels for quite some time, because I've got like five or six of them. And then I didn't get any for a long while, and I was like, why aren't I getting achievements? And then I went and looked looked to see why I wasn't getting achievements, and I realized, oh, every achievement in this entire game is for doing very specific things during levels.
At least it's a unique achievement list. They had fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is great fun. Some of them are like, you have to fire a bullet through two entire train cars. In a level where they are basically, the train is coming at you or away from you, so therefore you have to curve into the train car and then out of the train car to hit somebody, because you only get one bullet. Jeez. So, like, yeah, it's real hard. I got that on my first try, fucking somehow.
I guess it wasn't that hard then, huh?
A lot of people did have trouble with it. That's what I honestly said. Expected to have a lot of trouble with it, and I didn't. And I think most of that was pure unadulterated fucking luck, to be honest.
Sounds like the game is pure unadulterated fun, so $15, what do you think?
Oh, I am so for this. People who, you know, have Escape from Cults, maybe not a game for you, but like basically everyone else, go have fun. This does touch on some pretty dark shit. Because every level or two, you get to see some of the history of this family, and it does not paint a particularly pretty picture if you know what cults do. It becomes pretty obvious what's happening. So it is pretty dark. So if you have sensitivities to that stuff, maybe not a game for you either. But everyone else, yes, totally 100% worth it. This is a fantastically fun game.
Cool. Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, I love the, this is like the kind of, this is another one of those made by one guy games. And it's just so, first of all, it's obviously a perfect Devolver game. Like, I feel like you just, you know, look at some footage of this and it screams Devolver, but it's really different looking. And I don't know, like, I feel like this is the kind of game that can only come from one mind, if that makes sense. I don't know. I'm excited to try this.
Oh, it is so good. You've got to try it soon. It's fantastic. And this one you can beat in a day or two, folks. So have fun. Whether you get the achievements in that period of time is debatable, but yeah, you can easily beat it in that period of time. Not very hard.
All right. Well, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Musashi vs. Cthulhu, developed by Cyber Rhino Studios, published by Cubite Interactive, released May 16th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Musashi vs. Cthulhu is a fast-paced action game where you take control of Musashi, the most famous warrior from feudal Japan, as he's fighting for his life. The Ronin is a victim of a terrible curse that makes him a target for unspeakable monsters. In each match, hordes of monsters spawn endlessly and attack till there's no one standing. Jacob, what is Musashi vs. Cthulhu?
So Musashi vs. Cthulhu is very similar to the game that Joe and I had reviewed last week, S-Clash or Sclash, or whatever they wanted to call it, where you are the samurai character and you have to be very careful and precise with your movements. Now, that one, you could freely run around and, you know, granted it was one hit kills, but you had to be very careful with how you decided to attack your enemies. This one, you are stationary. You cannot move. You can only attack from your left or your right. And it's like up left, or lower left, upper right, and lower right as well, I should point out. And all of that is determined by the enemies that are coming at you and how quickly they're coming at you. And so you need to be, it's essentially DDR for your thumbs on your gamepad. And you really just have to work down a rhythm and make sure that you're getting your timing right with all of the enemies as they approach. It's all right. I found it to be frustrating most of the time, although it never really felt like it was my not the game's fault. Like, it's just like I had to get used to the rhythm, get used to the attacks, make sure I was hitting the correct buttons, that kind of stuff. But I honestly never quite feel like I got the hang of succeeding at this game. And so even though the game is a little generous with like how many hits you can take, I frequently saw the game over sign without even getting through like 50 or 60 enemies. It's just one of those things that it's just like, you're going to have lots of practice at this game, and you're going to have to be okay with having to practice a lot at this game.
Well, for $5, is it worth it?
There's definitely other worse things that you could spend $5 on. This game didn't blow me away, but like, I'm not going to dissuade anyone from buying it either. It's a fuck it. Why not?
Right. Sounds good. And that also sounds like the end of the episode. We made it through. Thanks to all three of you for being here, hanging out the whole show. Music. Grant, what's this song music I have on my computer that says play the game?
Play the game?
Yeah.
It's a song that I did for
Thank God.
No, I
seriously thought it was going to be Scott Stapp singing.
I was going to ask if it's a great song. No, I mean, you can do that too. It's just how
trying. You really can't do that.
Why can't it's I?
It's a song. You can do whatever you want, Joe.
Don't do it, please.
Don't. It's a song I did for the 2020 Devolver Digital E3 showcase. It was the credits music, and I did. I was supposed to write an inspirational '80s track, and it was the first time I collabed with the Arcadian singing vocals. So that's what that that's what Play the Game is. It's like a, it's an '80s upper with a good singer. That isn't me.
That is how we are going to end the show.
Oh shit! Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, buddy. Figure you're on. We'll play your music, right?
That'll work. I'll take it.
Yeah. All right.
Love it.
You have any final words to end the show?
Play the game? Question mark?
Or will the Marlins soar?
I really don't want to find out.
Oh my god.
God, this is like weird audio Russian roulette.
Jacob, what do you think you're going to hear like when this episode ends?
Oh god. Like I'm really hoping it's Grant. I've never minded hearing Grant's voice, but like this is the first time I've ever been like, oh shit, I got, please let it be Grant, please let it be Grant. Like,
listen here, fuck snort.
Please, sweet Jesus.
Let's play ball, it's game day. Get on the mic, take a breath, open up that